it's more headed to that area.
The House Transportation Committee will come to order and welcome everybody, and we can go ahead and get started. Today we have two bills, and I'm going to let Patrick, I'm going to go ahead, I will get started, and I'll get this down. I'm going to go ahead and open a public hearing, and I think I'm going to open it on both bills at the same time. So it'll be a public hearing on House Bill 2038 and House Bill 2377. And Patrick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2038 was introduced by the House Interim Committee on Transportation. House Bill 2377 is a member bill co-sponsored by Representatives Tomei and Esquivel. Both measures require the use of a hands-free accessory to lawfully use a mobile communications device while operating a motor vehicle. Both measures provide exceptions for operators of emergency vehicles, certain activities related to farming and agriculture, and persons using a device to summon medical and emergency assistance. There are a couple differences. The primary difference between the two bills as drafted is that House Bill 2038 authorizes the suspension of driving privileges for second and subsequent convictions.
Thank you. And I don't know if now is the time to mention that there are amendments.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. We had in your packets, I believe they're stapled to in the packet for House Bill 2377-1 amendments. Those are amendments that were drafted about a week and a half ago. We also received and should be in front of you on your desk, the 2377-2 amendments. I believe Representative Tomei will be speaking to those amendments in her testimony.
Thank you. And with that, I'd like to call up Representative Carolyn Tomei and Representative Sal Esquivel to start us off.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. For the record, my name is Carolyn Tomei, and I'm the representative for House District 41, which is Milwaukee in Southeast Portland. Representative Esquivel and I are bringing this bill before you. We have been working on this for some time, and we worked on it also during the interim. And actually, what we have done is we're just working the one bill now, and we're working 2377, which is the dash 2 amendment, and I'll explain the difference in just a minute. Driving while talking in a cell phone is a very dangerous habit, and we started, as I said, this discussion last session, and since then I've continued to hear from citizens about the hazards posed by drivers talking on cell phones. Whenever I have a town hall, and I bet you've had this experience too, where I see someone in the grocery store, I have people talking to me, "You've got to do something about cell phone use." And they tell me about experiences of almost being hit, of people having accidents in front of them or behind them who are using cell phone. And you'll hear from a constituent who is here who is talking about following a car all the way here from Portland where the person was talking continually on the cell phone. We have statistics also that show how dangerous it is and how many accidents and serious injuries caused by that. I got a email from a constituent who said, "I didn't think California's ban on cell phones would have had much of an effect, but it most certainly does, especially in the heavy traffic of Sacramento, where I am now. I have never seen so many drivers with both hands on the wheel. And because of that, drivers are much more attentive, and I haven't had one car weave into my lane." This is in California. "The ban has taken a lot of anxiety out of driving here." A retired corrections officer from Wolf Creek also contacted me. "There have been numerous times that I observed people driving carelessly out of their lane of traffic. Most of the time when we pass that vehicle, the driver is blabbing away on a cell phone. I even saw a semi-truck swerving on the freeway, and the driver was on a cell phone. Anyone who is against your bill, I would ask them how many Oregonians have to be killed or injured before something is done about this issue." And feel free to quote me, which I am right now doing. House Bill 2377-2 prohibits motorists from using a handheld mobile communication device while driving. This includes both talking on the phone and text messaging, which is becoming more and more of a problem. Hands-free devices would be permitted. The offense is created is a Class D traffic violation with a fine of $90, which is somewhat different from the original bill, which would have had people losing their driver's license, which was not our intent at all. Several states, including California, Connecticut, New York, and Washington, banned the use of handheld cell phones behind the wheel. 17 states, including Oregon, banned the use of cell phone by novice drivers. In some states, it is treated as a secondary offense. That is, officers can only enforce the measure if the driver is pulled over for another offense. Our bill treats operating a handheld cell phone as a primary offense. If you're talking and driving with the cell phone at your ear or text messaging, then that is a traffic violation and you will be fined or can be fined $90. We also include several exceptions to the cell phone ban to summon medical or emergency help, to a person operating an ambulance or an emergency vehicle, to a person using a mobile communication device, doing agricultural or farming operations. And you will be hearing from a lineup of other interests today who are also want to be exempted. And I think we should be very, very careful about these exceptions. What I want to emphasize is safety. 80% of the 270 million cell phone users in the United States talk while driving. 19% of the motorists text message while driving. A 205 study found that drivers talking on cell phones were four times more likely to get in a crash with serious injuries. The National Safety Council says there is no dispute that driving while talking on your cell phone or texting is while driving is dangerous. The time has come for Oregon to outlaw this dangerous practice. And thank you to the members of this committee for hearing House Bill 2377-2. And I look forward to working with you to craft a workable solution for this problem.
Thank you.
Yes, for the record, Sal Esquivel, Representative District 6, Medford. A fellow legislator and I tried to do this in the 2007 session to have these exact same bills come out and be law. We realized at that time, and that was Representative Greg McPherson, and the only thing we ended up getting out, and Representative Tomei was also a part of that, and the only thing we ended up getting out was the one for children or youngsters under 18, but it was as a secondary offense, which means nothing. Now, the only way I can relate to this is I use a cell phone. I'm a realtor. Have I ever swerved when I use my cell phone? And you ask yourself that same question. Have you ever swerved a little bit when you're using your phone? I see there's a lot of grins here. I have. And I know what it does. But I have gone to a hands-free device. In fact, they're so sophisticated now that you can call by a voice command. You can call someone. You can go down the road and you can say, example, I want to call Representative Berger. I could say, call Vicki Berger. And it will answer, you mean Vicki Berger? No, the other. That's exactly what it does. It asks you if that's who you want to call. And you can say yes, and it will automatically contact you with that person. So there's no reason why, that since technology has worked to the point of where we can and in a safe manner use hands-free device, then we should be using them. I always look at using a cell phone, and by the way, I happen in this interim saw an individual in a pickup that was ran into the back of an individual on Riverside in Medford, and sure enough, there he was, had the cell phone, wasn't paying attention, and the person in front of him stopped, and he didn't. So can there be a lot of accidents avoided? We all know that. That's just a common sense issue. I've been told, I should have brought it, but I had some information that I read, and I believe it was in our newspaper at home, that when you drive with a cell phone, it's the equivalent of being a drunk driver with the mistakes you make. And I thought that was interesting, because we all move over to a line one way or the other, or you're doing something with it, or you're looking at it, and you wander a little bit. And I thought that was just very staggering, actually, to find that out. But it's a common sense issue. It's something that we need. I think that it's gotten to the point where cell phones, I think everyone has one anymore. And I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Now, personally, folks, I can't text when I'm in my office, let alone driving. So I don't understand that one at all. But there are a lot of talented people in the world. But I would like to see us put a stop to this. But more importantly, put some safety back into our highways for people that aren't using their cell phone and that aren't texting.
And I would like to add one more thing, some materials that I just got today, that cell phone driving while using a cell phone caused 2,600 deaths and 336,000 injuries every year. Drivers talking on cell phones are 18% slower to react to brake lights. So,
I know one that didn't.
Right. Didn't at all. So I think we're both open to questions.
Representative Berger, then Representative Widener. And then no one over here?
You're the MC.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing this bill. It's been out there. We need to be talking about this. Here is the question that's been put to me, and you don't necessarily have to answer this personally because I know there's people in the audience who have hopefully some stats and information from other states. But this has been put to me on this issue, so I'm putting it to you. Is the issue your hand on the steering wheel or the fact that you are distracted by a conversation going on in your head and in your voice that has nothing to do with your driving? In other words, hands-free frees up a hand, but it doesn't free up your brain because you're still talking on the phone. So are we getting to the issue of distraction by just making it hands-free?
Madam Chair, Representative Berger, I think that I would answer that not necessarily of saying I know all the statistics here, but I would answer that with a question. Have you ever rode in a car with someone and talked?
Yeah.
I rest my case. It has to do with your hands. Because have you ever pushed a button on a radio, but you didn't have to necessarily look around unless you're trying to move a dial? Then you start moving around. So it has to do, in my opinion, that's just my humble opinion, has to do with you and what you're doing with that phone. As for talking, I don't believe that one bit, because I have people in my car that I talk to, and it doesn't bother my driving.
Chair Beyer, Representative Berger, I think you ask an excellent question, and maybe this is something we need to look more into in the future. I think this is the step that we need to take now, that we need to take this step. California has taken it, and as I say, the driving statistics there have improved since this has gone into effect. So,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Representative Widener.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Tomei, you keep mentioning California. When was that letter when was it sent to you?
The letter, no. Their bill passed. I've got it here. Their bill passed July 1st, 2008.
And it took effect in January.
No, it took effect July 1st, 2008.
Well, when I was just down there, it started January 1 is when it took effect. So when we were driving, because my brother-in-law said, hey, law just went into effect. You're not supposed to be talking on your cell phone today.
I stand corrected. Thank you.
So, but, I mean, that aside, I think what Representative Berger was getting at, even the conversation in the car, especially when my wife wants my undivided attention, sometimes you're looking over and making movements. And I think it's more the problem when you're dialing a number tends to be the issue in the text messaging. So I could probably support the texting a little bit more, and maybe usually that's youth that's doing that under the age of 18. Those are the ones that are trying to text, because when my 12 and 13-year-old come home and say, man, you should see Dusty text message. He doesn't even look at his phone. So, and those are issues that we're facing. but it's about paying attention to what they're doing in the field, and I think we need to find a way to address that. I don't know if hands-free really gets us where we need to be, because once you start a conversation, even if you're on the phone, you're looking here, where if you have a passenger, I think you're looking more off to the side. So I'd be interested in seeing over time what the actual real statistics are, because I don't think we have enough time to look at this and make a decision if it's the right move to make right now.
Representative Schaffler.
We do most of our, when we ride as a family, it's usually in my wife's car, and she likes to drive her car, and that's fine with me, and she just, you know, she just wants me to shut up and let her drive. But anyway, how many states, Representative, is it just California, or is it several states, and are there others that have been in effect for a long time? I'm sorry, I probably could have come and asked you this, but.
Several states, including, thank you. California, Connecticut, District of Columbia, Illinois, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Utah, Washington. Washington is secondary. West Virginia is secondary. Several are secondary. California is primary. Connecticut is primary. District of Columbia, Illinois, Massachusetts,
okay.
New Jersey, New York. Are all primary.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I just for the record, I think this has merit. I mean, I have a 15-year-old daughter, and although she's not glued to her cell phone, I'm grateful to say, you know, someday she probably will be. She's always on the computer doing something, and I definitely want her watching, knowing the kind of teenage driver I was. I won't tell you what was in my hand. I definitely think we need to take a good card close look at this.
And I'm sure it was something we want to tax.
And Representative, we want to keep her safe from other drivers, not just keep her a safe driver.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when she's on the road, I want other people paying attention to.
Right.
Madam Chair, I would like to interject that
also. Are you sure you really want to come?
I didn't know him when we were young. But the question has been posed to me periodically of, well, why do you do that to the young people? And my response to that is we don't allow young people to have someone under 18 with them in a car now anyway. So what's the difference? So that's the reason that we prohibit, period, a cell phone with people under 18.
Other questions? I had a couple comments. I have a in regards to the California law and when it was passed and came into effect. I have a son down there, and that's when he used to call me, was when he was driving, was the only time I ever heard from him. So I figured once this passed, I might have trouble hearing from him. But I do think once something like this passes, people start adapting to the new law even before it actually becomes the law. People start preparing for that. So you probably did start seeing changes before the effective date, but it probably didn't go in quite as quickly. But I also think another comment is on conversations. I think it would kind of depend on what the conversation was, and whether it's in the car or on the phone. If you're angry or you're yelling at someone and you're fighting with someone in the car, I think that, I mean, there's an impairment thing there also. So I think that while most of it is the manual dexterity, of which I have none, so I try not to call in the car, but I do think sometimes it depends on the conversation that you're having as to whether you're distracted or not. So, Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Apologize if this was discussed while I was discussing with a colleague outside, but I'm curious if you could just speak briefly to the differences between the two bills that we have before us, to the extent that you are familiar with 2038 and why you prefer this approach?
We were looking at both bills, and actually we just are presenting the one bill now, and we did discuss it maybe while you're gone. We're just looking at 2377-2. One bill, it must have been the other, 08, would have had, as a consequence, after I think the first violation, 30 days without driver's license, and subsequent offenses would have been 90 days. We felt that was too restrictive. So we just made it the Class D felony, which is a Class D misdemeanor, which is a $90 fine. We felt that was more fair.
Apologies for the duplicate question, Madam Chair.
Yes. Representative Widener again.
Thank you, Madam Chair. representatives, could this be considered a bipartisan stimulus bill for the cell phone industry?
Madam Chair, Representative Witter, probably for hands-free device, it shall be a stimulus. I'm sure that people will start buying them.
Thank you. I don't see any other questions, and you're welcome to start your weekends or hang around and listen.
Thank you so much.
Madam
this
Chair.
Is one of my favorite committees. I might hang around a while, so thank you for hearing us.
And sign-up sheets, I'm going to call Craig Campbell and Al Elkins if you two want to come up together.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Craig Campbell, and on these particular issues, I have the distinction of being able to represent five of my different clients, General Motors, Associated Oregon Loggers, Association of Oregon Chiefs of Police, AAA, and Motorola. They, of course, all don't see exactly the same on the issue, which makes my testimony that much more fun. But what I wanted to talk to you about today is some amendments that I have presented to the committee, mostly in the hopes of being helpful for addressing some clarification and then a couple of exceptions to take care of discussions that really came up around these bills during last session. I apologize that you have two copies of the amendments that are almost identical, but since there are two bills, I made two memos just to be absolutely complete. And because we do represent the loggers, there was an off chance that might increase the need for their yield. The First Amendment, if you look on its subsection 1, subsection 2 sub A, it adds a little language to the hands-free accessory. This addresses General Motors' concern about their OnStar device. In order for some hands-free devices to work, you actually have to reach out one of your hands and press a button to activate it or deactivate it or activate the function. And what this would allow to happen is for that brief moment that you need to activate your hands-free device, you're free to do so without it falling under the new law. The second and third changes, which are on, I believe, the back of both pages, they are sub E and sub F, create two new exceptions. The first one, a person using a mobile communication device within the scope of employment, and I was asked to put this part on the record, that subsection also requires that the vehicle they're using is a part of the scope of their employment. This is designed to get to utility vehicles, tow trucks, taxi cabs, where on occasion they're required to also use a cell phone. As an example, a AAA dispatched tow truck, when it's trying to communicate with our member cannot talk through our dispatch system, so often they're on the phone with the tow truck directly via cell phone saying, here's where I am. This would allow that to happen as long as it was within the scope of employment. And I just realized that I also represent Pacific Corps, their utility, so theoretically they too are affected by this bill. And oftentimes they're on the phone trying to figure out the location of where there's a power outage and are on a cell phone for that purpose as well. The next amendment is sub F. This deals with a different group of folks. These are folks who use CB radios, ham radios, where there's a push-to-talk mechanism, where you're not able to hear and receive and send at the same time. Oftentimes, our dispatch folks, tow truck drivers, those sort of folks, are using dispatch system, and that's how they get from one place to another to learn where they are. This exception allows them to use those devices, which otherwise wouldn't have been exempt. And so I offer those as amendments to the bill as hopefully a recommendation that solves some folks' problems. I did want to add one other comment about sub F. There was a question about Nextel phones. Nextel phones have dual function, meaning one, they can act just like a cell phone, or you can do a push to talk. The way I have drafted this separate amendment, I was informed today, would not include a Nextel phone, because a Nextel phone can send and receive voice communication simultaneously. It just doesn't when you're using that push-to-talk. So if you wanted to allow those sorts of phones to be used, then I would need to change language, or you would need to change the language to allow that to happen. And I know there's at least one organization that has a concern there.
Representative Boone.
Thank you. And, Craig, I'm assuming, although I know you should never assume in this building, that the F section would also allow volunteer firefighters and people in, who are may not be in an official emergency vehicle but are responding to a call in their own vehicle but use a handheld radio could continue to use that.
Madam Chair, Representative Boone, yes, that would be the case. A good example of that was during the recent summer storms when we had communications outages, and going back the previous year as well, where we were relying exclusively on ham radio operators. If those folks were out in their cars under this, they would still be able to use those radios because of the push-to-talk function.
Follow-up, thank you, Madam Chair. And then not just a ham radio, but an actual fire radio.
Madam Chair, Representative Boone, I believe the term that they use is a half-duplex device, which is any sort of device where you really cannot speak and hear at the same time. Okay. So, yes, any sort of police radio, hence the Motorola client, and those sort of radios, yes.
Too.
Yes, yes. Well, we don't represent the fire chiefs, but firefighters, but yes, that's exactly the sort of thing this was designed to get to.
Thank you.
Thank you. No questions for any number of clients here? Go ahead. Representative.
Yeah, I have a question, Madam Chair, but I'm not sure that this is the panel to. But for those who are out there, there are real issues that he's bringing up: utility trucks, emergency vehicles, volunteers on their way to a fire. How do other states handle this? We don't have to reinvent the wheel here, so I hope someone will speak to that at some point.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Tow Truck Association. I just want to echo Mr. Campbell's amendments here, especially sections E and F. We use cell phones, two-way radios, that includes CB radios, and the handy talkie or the walkie-talkie, and we would like to continue to be able to use those. I believe E and F cover us in these the way that Mr. Campbell explained them. I'm worried about the next telephones. I do know that some of our folks do use those at scenes of wrecks, so I would like to be able to have the opportunity to check to see how much they're used, and then get back to the committee with that information. That concludes what I have to say.
Okay. No other questions?
Representative Boone. Clarification, Madam Chair, thank you. Just to be sure that in the event of that volunteer going to a fire or accident crash call, would they be able to use a regular cell phone in that case?
Madam Chair, Representative Boone, that issue is brought up to me today when somebody was looking over the amendments, and the way these amendments are written, no, it wouldn't, because the vehicle is not that they're using is not a part of the scope of work. If they were in an official fire vehicle, then they could, but if they were a volunteer firefighter on their way, if they're using a cell phone, they wouldn't be covered under these amendments. But
thank you. And follow up.
Yes, follow up.
I would suggest that we add that capacity, because a lot of volunteers are not in official fire vehicles. They're in their own rigs, and they don't all have handheld radios. They don't all have CB radios, or they have a pager. They can hear. They can't talk. If they need to talk, they'll pick up their cell phone, and they don't all have the Borg thing.
Madam Chair, Representative Boone, if you would like, I would be happy to work on developing language to the for these amendments that would take care of that problem.
It'd be great if you could work with Representative Tomei on this.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we would be interested in that as well. We have, on our big wreck sites, we have people come in their cars to act as flaggers or workers to pick up payloads and things of that nature. So we would be very much interested in the point that Representative Boone made.
All right. Representative Berger.
Madam Chair, just to bring this forward with regard to this discussion, we are making the general public buy a handheld device by this in order to use the phone in their car. When do you stop those exceptions? The list could get quite endless. Tow truck drivers, well, they can buy a hands-free too, like everybody else. So I offer that up as... You could get really complicated. By this bill, we are asking people to buy a hands-free device if they want to use the phone while driving, and where you stop the exception process is an important consideration.
Thank you, gentlemen. Everett Curry and Bob Russell. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Everett Curry. I am the Assistant Section Manager for the American Radio Relay League Oregon Section. Oregon Section is composed, in our case, of just the state of Oregon, and there are 15,000 licensed amateur radio operators in the state of Oregon. That number has increased significantly through both our national and local disasters. Quite a number of younger people have become involved in the amateur radio service as a direct result of both Katrina and our storms in 2007 in northwestern Oregon. I'm a volunteer representative for this organization. My primary interest in amateur radio is emergency communications. I was activated for the storms in December of 2007, and my function was to operate a net through the evening hours, connecting various sites where we had operators functioning. Recently, I was called to standby duty when normal communications were threatened by similar storm activity, although we were not actually called up in that circumstance. I'm requesting your support for an amendment to the bills in question today, House Bill 2038 and 2377. As written, amateur radio operators would be unable to legally provide the emergency communication service with their vehicle or while they're in their vehicles. The amendment we're requesting would perfect the bill and it would not reduce the effectiveness of the bill in a general sense. We're also interested in another bill, House Bill 2526, that deals with similar matters, and we'll deal with that at a subsequent time. Amateur radio operators often have mobile radio equipment in their vehicles. They have that equipment to provide both the service to local communities and community events. You perhaps have seen amateur radio operators in those settings. They also are, many of them, or nearly 500 of them in the state of Oregon, are part of Amateur Radio Emergency Services, which is our emergency service organization, and RACES, Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service. RACES is directly related to the sheriffs in our 36 counties. And we directly respond when called upon by the government official, in our case in Oregon, the sheriff. The equipment is used to monitor a communication circuit. It's not a conversation like we would be holding on a cell phone, waiting for a call that would call us to duty or call us to function. The loss of focus that's at issue with cell phones is not an issue with amateur radio equipment installed in a vehicle. Working with amateur radio equipment is no more distracting than listening to your car radio or an MP3 player or something of that sort in your car. And I was interested in the discussion about the mental distraction because, depending on how far you want to take that, we might need to ban AM/FM radios from our cars if we're listening to some of the talk radio activity that gets us stimulated.
We should do that anyway, man.
There we go. I thought I might find a taker. I'm asking you to support language that would essentially exempt or exclude amateur radio operators who are licensed by the Federal Communications Commission in the pursuit of these emergency functions. I have language in the statement, in the written statement, which I have submitted. I'd be glad to respond to any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Representative Berger.
And certainly, if you're rushing to an emergency, you are quite distracted, but that's okay.
In the nature of the situation.
It's the nature of the thing. I'm not very familiar with the technology of amateur radio. Would they be in the exclusion of the what they called the stop talk?
Push to talk. I believe the language that Mr. Campbell was talking about, although I've not seen it, might very well deal with the same issue.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none. ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bob Russell with the Oregon Trucking Associations, and safety is the number one priority to my members and sharing the highway with the other folks out there. And we can absolutely support a ban on use of cell phones in vehicles. Our issue is the half duplex. We use a lot of radios, the push to talk. Whether they be CBs, FMs, ham radios, or the Nextel that are important to us. Again, you don't have to look at them to dial. You're not playing with them. It's just simply the push to talk. We would very much like to be able to continue to do that in our vehicles. And with that, we would be just fine, and the amendments that Mr. Campbell submitted would work for us just fine.
Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Bob. There's the industry or the companies, do they have company policies that direct their drivers? And the reason I ask, you know, my friend from Milwaukee talked about distracted drivers and stories. I was in the Midwest last summer, and I was in Minnesota, and this truck was, I mean, all over. There were three lanes and all over them, and I got around him. I thought he was intoxicated or something, and he had a cell phone in his hand, and I'm going, wow. So, and I've almost been hit by people driving with cell phones in my own rig. So do they have policies, or is there, what's going on out there?
Mr. Chair, Representative Schaffler, many companies do have policies that prohibit the use of cell phones without the hand-free devices. If you go into a today's truck stop, you'll see lots of folks with little blue dot or lights in their ear, so that they are using the hands-free devices substantially.
Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing none, I guess I have a comment. It's what's been really interesting. This is we've had two different hearings on things that I would consider pretty controversial. That there is a definitely split among the public on these issues, and yet we haven't really seen any pro opposition kind of arguments. It's just we all want our amendments, and so I don't know whether any of you actually want to go on record as saying you support this or not, but I find it kind of amazing that this is kind of the testimony that we get. So with that said, I won't put you on the spot.
Roger, over and out.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Bob Hall and Kelsey Wilson.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Kelsey Wilson. I'm representing the Oregon Transit Association. Our association's members include all of the large and small transit districts across the state. Mobile communication devices are important in our day-to-day operations for ensuring the safety of our passengers, as well as the efficiency of our service. While most of the transit systems around the state have policies that they do not allow the bus drivers to use their personal cell phones, our bus drivers do use mobile communication devices to correspond with dispatch and field operators to ensure the efficiency and safety of our riders. Typical communications are connections for passengers, medical emergencies, accident reporting, lost items, route detours, safety, security, and then incident reporting. I saw Mr. Campbell's amendments prior to the hearing, and I believe that we are okay as long as confirm that Nextel devices are able to be used under F of that. We do have some of our smaller operators. In fact, I just had Rogue Valley Transportation District in the building a couple days ago, and they do use Nextel devices for their complementary paratransit, not the large buses, but the smaller dial-a-ride door-to-door service they have Nextel to communicate for pickups and drop-offs and that sort of thing. So we are neutral on the bill, granted there are amendments that would exempt transit operators in the course of their business. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bob Hall. I'm here today representing Portland General Electric. I'll aim my comments right at our utility type of an industry. That our trucks, our line trucks, are equipped with two-way radios in them, you know, with push-to-talk switches. It's necessary to talk with these utility crews as they're going out on the jobs. They may find out heading to one place, we've discovered the problem is something else, we have to redirect and they have to respond, get the directions, etc. I worked over the lunch hour very quickly, drafted, you know, just some sort of a thought that we could put in as an amendment would take care of the problem that we have, realizing you want to keep a very narrow scope. And it would be something to the effect, to a person working for a public utility is defined in ORS 757-005 while engaged in utility service restoration or maintenance. I also saw at the beginning of today's hearing Mr. Campbell's amendment, and I think that would also take care of the problem we have getting our line trucks, you know, to the spot of the outage to get people back into electrical service. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Bob, I just would like to have you add in that because to include emergency response, because often on an emergency car crash, run into a pole, the wire's down, we're not allowed to touch it, and we have to call the power company, and it's all done by radio or phone.
We'd be glad to put that in. That makes some sense. I understand what you're saying. Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
And I have Rick Zettenfield and Stephen Brandt. Gentlemen.
Okay. Madam Chair and members of this committee and members of the Oregon State Legislature who may also be in attendance. For the record, my name is Stephen Brandt and I am here as a lay concerned citizen. I am basically in favor of this bill, but I am concerned about a few issues that are in this bill that might have unintended consequences that could hurt individuals in this state. I am very well aware that there have been many collisions that have been the result of people using cell phones, and people have been injured and even killed in these accidents. In fact, I happen to know a couple personally. Basically, I have, as I tried to state before, I have no problems with this bill, but I am concerned about possible unintended consequences if the measure is not carefully written. People talk about being distracted by cell phones. I have also seen people weaving in and out and driving in ways that make me, quite frankly, scared to death. And when I get up to them and pass them, I have noticed that it's not just necessarily a cell phone. I have seen people shaving, trying to dry their nails and other activities, which can be equally distracting. And it's not just the cell phone itself, it's the thoughtless and inconsiderate operator that's the culprit. Okay, if this proposed legislation is only concerned about operating a cell phone while someone is actually driving, I would have very few problems with it. But as the way it is written right now, I think there need to be some things added in it to prevent possible unintended consequences. I am also a member of the American Radio Relay League. There are approximately 100,000 of us all over the United States and Canada besides just the state of Oregon, although again I emphasize I am here primarily as a concerned citizen. I have been a licensed radio amateur since 1965, and please allow me to remind this committee that amateur radio operators take a written examination administered by the Federal Communications Commission, which is an agency of the federal government, and we are regulated by both the Federal Communications Commission and international treaties. This is reasonable and proper because radio waves have no respect for borders arbitrarily made by human beings. A signal starting in Oregon can easily end up in be heard in Canada or half a continent away. And for these reasons, I am very concerned when people, especially state and local governments, start writing rules and regulations concerning activities that are rightly regulated by the federal government. Radio amateurs also contribute millions of dollars of public service communications every year to all over the country and the state of Oregon, and two good primary examples would be the Katrina hurricane or the rains that we had back just two seasons ago in the northwest corner of Oregon and southwest Washington. What does not necessarily make the headlines is we are also involved in activities in our local communities like walk-a-thons, jog-a-thons, and whatever. A good example is the Race for the Cure, which is held in Portland each year in September. Radio amateurs, including my wife and myself, are actively involved in this event in that capacity every year. As other people have pointed out to this committee earlier, if this law were to go in as it stands right now, there's a good possibility that our ability to perform these services could be compromised. Similar bills have been passed in other states, especially back east, and you have already heard some. And we have had examples of problems in several states, and examples are New York and New Jersey. Okay. What I would like to see this committee have, as Mr. Curry pointed out, an amendment that would exempt federally licensed amateur radio operators and their equipment. And as Mr. Curry has very carefully pointed out, he has proposed some language, and the American Radio Relay League, which has had experience with similar bills in other states and Canada, has come out with a written policy, including proposed language that could be put into such bills. And I have included their website in my written testimony how local officials of the American Radio Relay League and headquarters back in Newington, Connecticut could be contacted. In summary, I would like to state while I am basically in favor of this bill, I am concerned about possible unintended consequences, and I would like to see an amendment exempting radio amateurs and their federally licensed equipment, and I will soon be writing my local representatives telling them that if such a bill comes to the floor of either house and it does not contain such an exemption, I would like them to vote against it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Questions? Yes, Representative.
Same Berger. Question, Mr. Brent. Thank you for coming. Again, I'm not familiar with the equipment, but is it the push kind?
Yes. This we are generally concerned here about what other people have referred to as half duplex push to talk equipment, which and it is not normal for us to be talking and listening at the same time, Madam Representative.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Seeing no other, thank you, and go ahead.
Madam Chair, representatives, my name is Rick Zinfield. I live in Portland. I'm here as a concerned driver, and I'm here to speak for the bill. I was the writer of the email that Representative Tomei read about the fellow driving in Sacramento and saw a tremendous difference. I have driven in Sacramento many times, and things are a lot more calm there. I'm going to deviate from what has been passed out to you because it would be redundant. We've all seen drivers on cell phones. But one point I would like to emphasize is there's a lot of talk of banning handheld, but hands-free is okay. And an interesting thing I came across just yesterday on a website that drivers with hands-free or using hands-free phones were 18% slower in braking and 17% longer to regain speed lost when they braked than drivers with handheld. So it does give a false sense of security there. And to answer Representative Berger's question about what happens in the brain, I've been accused of reading too much. I read a lot, especially about driving. I'm what's called a motorhead. And what happens when you're on the cell phone, regardless which one of the two devices, you get tunnel vision. You don't scan. You don't look at your mirrors. But when you're talking to a passenger, you're using a different part of your brain than when on a cell phone, and you continue to scan, unless you're the type of person who just has to look others in the eye while you're talking. So, and my concern is that if something isn't done, we have parents teaching children in their car, who are passengers in the car, that this is all right driving behavior. And we have young people now who are very accustomed to multitasking, and I'm concerned that this would carry on into the automobile. Incidentally, in California, one of the things I have observed, not only is there, sure, there's the occasional scofflaw, but I notice that once they get out of their car, they don't get on their cell phone. We've all been in lines at the check stand where somebody is at the register on their cell phone, which I and maybe you all consider rude. I saw very little of that there. And then when I returned back to Oregon, it's a different story. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, thank you, Mr. Zinfield, for coming down and giving your testimony. Clearly, you would like to see more of a ban of cell phones than is contained in this particular legislation, because this legislation doesn't ban cell phone, but only you have to have a hands-free device. Would you support this legislation?
Yes. I only stated that as a fact. One of the things I noticed in California and in Washington, too, because there's a ban on handheld, but hands-free is okay, I see precious few people using the hands-free even. I guess what it tells people is I could wait to take that call after I get to where I'm going.
Representative Widener.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Zinfeld. With listening to your testimony and everything, too, and actually after listening to both testimonies, had a few things arise because I drove into downtown Portland every day to work from the town of Dundee, and you would see lots, I didn't see too many males shaving, but lots of ladies putting makeup on, and I'm just wondering if we should include things like that. For me, my big problem while driving that makes me go off the road isn't my cell phone. It's eating. when you're trying to keep that tomato from falling out of your burger onto your lap and drink a soda at the same time and driving with your knee. So there's lots of things that go inside the cab of that vehicle, and I think eating and makeup might be more crucial than a cell phone. So, and I don't know if you thought of that or if those are things that maybe we should look at doing if we're really going to address this and do it properly. What's your feeling on that?
I think of that all the time I'm on the road. I've been to Europe, and I enjoy driving in Germany more than anywhere else in the world because the only thing they can have in their hands is the steering wheel, and they have to have both hands on the steering wheel. It's a moving violation not to. They can't understand why we want cup holders. And I tell them it's because we drink coffee and read the newspaper while driving. So I feel very safe in Germany, even though you could be on an Autobahn section with no speed limit. Their attitude is, you're going to be a safer driver. Our attitude here seems to be, we're going to make crashing safer for you.
Thanks for convicting me on the reading while you're driving, too, because you lose your depth perception there.
Representative Bailey and then Schaffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Zittenfeld actually answered my question in the latter part of his testimony, so I'll simply make the comment that it's very nice to Mr. Zittenfeld is an active member of our community and a constituent, and it's very nice to have him here for the committee, and thank you for your valuable testimony.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I, too, have enjoyed driving in Europe, and they drive a lot faster there. I drive down here almost every day back and forth on I-5, and there's people that think they're on the Autobahn, and they got their cell phone on, and they're watching TV or whatever it is. So, but it is a cultural thing, I think.
One of the things I am observing now at night, people holding some kind of a device in their left hand, and the screen is lit up, and they're holding it quite steadily, so I'm led to believe it's not a phone being used for a conversation. I'm wondering if they aren't watching movies or whatever it is. But I, too, have had 18-wheelers move over on me, and I do travel commercially. I'm in a large van. It's very white. It's not small, as I say. And in fact, in one trip from Reading to Portland, I had four 18-wheelers move over on me. I was to their left, and they were moving left. And so I installed air horns on my van so that I can be heard. And three of the four were on the cell phone. So it's a handheld cell phone. Now, I've been doing this a long time. I've seen many truckers on the cell phone, or CB. I've talked to them on the CB, as I have one. But it seems to be a completely different animal. When you just have a mic in your hand and you key it to talk, it almost becomes, pardon the term, a motor instinct.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions, really appreciate your testimony today.
I'd like to point out to Mr. Zittenfeld, if that's your
name. That's my name, Zittenfeld.
Okay. I would like to reiterate that it is probably more the person than the activity, because although Mr. Zindler didn't, I would like to take exception that I have on more than one occasion seen a person walking on the street walking down the street with their cell phone in their hand and step out into the street, and I've almost hit a couple of them. I'm not sure these activities are limited to just the automobile.
Yes,
so,
Madam
Representative Tomain, walking with cell phones too, right?
Yes, can we we include that?
Thank you, gentlemen. I really appreciate your coming today.
You're very welcome.
Great testimony. Dr. Hedberg and Amy Joyce.
Chair Beyer and members of the committee. I'm Dr. Katrina Hedberg, and I'm the interim state epidemiologist with the Oregon Department of Human Services. And I'm here today to provide testimony in support for both of these bills, but I think we're addressing primarily 2377 at this point. Research suggests that cell phone use while driving, well, and I should say text messaging as well, but does pose significant cognitive distraction, which then can, of course, lead to traffic injuries and death. It's already been mentioned that there was a study on talking on cell phones led to driver impairment on the order comparable to being drunk. And two recent studies also found that cell phone use increased crash risk about fourfold. I think one of the things that has already been addressed in testimony really has to do with kind of what's the degree of distraction. Certainly, if you are holding a cell phone with your hand, then that is also leading to some motor impairment. I would agree with the testimony that was given just right before me around that talking on a cell phone is a different kind of distraction, even with your, if it's hands-free, than talking with someone sitting next to you. But I think one of the questions around legislation is, do we want to legislate against any distraction, which I think is difficult, or what are the pieces that really make some sense? And that's part of the reason that I'm very supportive of this. I'm supportive not only from my sort of professional, my day job, but I'm also a bicycle commuter, and I bicycle from my house to the Portland State Office Building, and there's more than once that I have not been hit by a car, but several cars have veered into my lane, and I've had to stop dead, not literally, but stop, because they're on their cell phones, so I really support legislation for that reason. There was also an issue about what data are available specific to this. And while they're specific about the data on specific proportion are lacking, the NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, estimates that distractions probably contribute to at least 25% of all crashes. So, again, I understand the hamburger while driving, that certainly is a distraction as well. Again, it's a question of how much do you want to include in legislation. To be most effective, laws banning cell phone use while driving need to be also backed by strong enforcement, and I know that these bills talk about it as being a primary offense. The other districts or areas that have passed cell phone use or laws banning cell phone use in the District of Columbia, they saw a sustained decrease in cell phone use even a year after ban implementation because it was supported by enforcement. And so it really, that's a piece of it that needs to be included in this as well. That said, there are a number of people, and I would perhaps put myself in this category, that do want to follow the law, so even if a legislation is passed, they might tend to use cell phones less or do the right thing, if you will, even if the enforcement isn't up to the level that that we might wish. So in summary, we support this legislation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Berger.
I seem to have a lot of them.
I'm
sure. Dr. Hedberg, thank you for coming. In your letter, you reference research suggests that cell phone use while driving poses significant cognitive distraction, and you reference a couple of studies. I would like, I guess, more about what studies, when and who, and what their results were, because this is, what we're proposing here is not a minor thing. We all use cell phones while driving. Everyone here in this audience does it, and every person out there does it, some more safely than others. And this is a very serious piece of legislation, and I guess I'm looking for research data. And if you have some, if you could email it to me and other members of the committee, it would help me a lot in discussing this, because we all know anecdotally what happens, but what's the research? And if you or anyone else listening to this has it, I would really like to see it. Thank you.
Madam Chair and Representative Berger, I don't have the articles with me, but I would be very happy to forward those to you.
Thank you. And if you don't mind forwarding them to Patrick, and he can
yes.
get them out. Thank you. Representative Widener.
Just a quick follow-up. I'd like to have the articles and the names, of the people that did the studies so we can really investigate this, because this is, I mean, this is a large expense. You're asking everybody to go out and spend $100, and why AT&T and or all the cell phone companies aren't here in support of this bill, I have no idea, but because this is a huge thing for them. And it's a huge expense we're asking people to put out, so we need to make sure we get the facts straight, because the only point I was trying to make is there's lots of stuff we do in the car that's wrong. I mean, everybody does it, and everybody can come up with different reasons why somebody swerved. I mean, you still, even like with you with the bicycle, I can get just as many people in here saying they run the stoplights and don't stop at the stoplights and stop signs, things like that. So we need factual information when we make a decision on this. So I don't want articles and summaries. I want facts and numbers. And we probably need to talk with ODOT to get some of that as well. So,
thank you. Seeing no other questions, thank you. And Amy?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Amy Joyce from the Department of Transportation. I'm here today addressing the impacts to the department's highway maintenance operations. We have a statewide radio network with essentially those two-way radios. I think of them as CB-like, but that push-to-talk thing we've been all talking about today. You hit the button to talk, you release it, you can't talk and listen at the same time. And as drafted, this legislation would impact that use. These radios are critical to our mission, and I think this gets a little bit to Representative Berger's point about, you know, how many exemptions are we going to layer on this and basically take everybody out of it. So from the department standpoint, the use of the radios is really critical to our maintenance operations. We send and receive messages about vehicle crashes, weather hazards, down trees, maintenance issues like damaged guardrail, that sort of thing. And it's not always feasible to pull over. There are lots of places along highways where it's not feasible to pull over, and it takes quite a deal of time. Another example where we use these is in coordinated activities. Attached to the written testimony I turned in, you can see the line of snow plows going down the highway in a staggered formation to clear the highway all at once. And that, it's critical for those folks operating those units in very close sequence to be able to communicate and do that safely. Also, most of our maintenance folks are operating alone in their vehicle. Again, there isn't a second person in the cab to operate the radio or receive the messages and communicate back. Again, it is something where it would impact our operations. I would also note that the conversations that we have on these radios are really fundamentally different than your typical personal cell phone conversation. The conversations we have on those radios, they are quick. They are directed specifically at, a location and an event going on, a problem. We have codes so we can increase the brevity of the conversations, so they're short and fundamentally different types of conversations. So ODOT's options to comply without an exemption are to put a second person in the cab of the vehicle, hugely expensive, or to go with a hands-free option. Interestingly, there isn't a product on the market for our radios to go hands-free, and we've talked to a vendor who has mocked up a prototype and tested it that they would manufacture if we needed to go hands-free, but that's going to be a costly item that we've put into a fiscal. So the bill would impact us to accommodate what we do in the most cost-effective way would be an amendment to have us exempted out. Mr. Campbell's exemption wouldn't cover that, or anything that would do the push-to-talk would cover us that way. So that's what I have.
Questions? Representative Schaffler.
Only, Madam Chair, to recognize the concerns that have been voiced and make sure that, you know, people out there doing work that we need to do gets done and they can communicate. You know, we've heard from, you know, utilities people, ODOT, the truckers, but farmers, ranchers, loggers, they're out there doing their business, and God bless every one of them. So I think this has merit, but I want to, and I'm confident, Madam Chair, you're going to take care of all these good, hardworking Americans.
We're trying. It depends on what you mean, right? All right, any other questions? Seeing none, thank you for coming up. That is all I have signed up. So if there is, yes, Representative Tomei, and if there's anybody else, we'll I don't see anybody jumping. Did
Thank
you want to come up, or you're okay?
Come on up.
Business swap in this committee as a friend of the committee.
Yes.
You go first.
Brian DeLashman, for the record, I actually represent a couple people historically who have been involved in this issue. I know that Nextel has been brought up a couple of times. I represent Sprint Nextel, which was obviously the merge. But this is a cell phone, but this is also a walkie-talkie. And so obviously the issue that was brought up, these devices are predominant in corporate communications, but in public safety communications as well, and including volunteers and so forth. So in many cases, rather than having the big old-fashioned walkie-talkies, they have a push-to-talk, which is functions just like a walkie-talkie. So I would like to be involved in the conversations about who's in and who's out. Now let me put the other hat on, representing public safety officers. Historically, their position has been, and I wanted to remind the committee that up until about 8 years ago, we had in our statute what was called an encumbered driver statute, which covered all of these things that you've talked about. So if an officer was following somebody and saw him swerve, it didn't matter whether it was the tomato in the lap or it was makeup or it was a cell phone or whatever it was, they cited them. They could cite them under the encumbered driver. That is no longer there. So that's another way to go. I mean, obviously, you could capture the things that you want to capture by just going back in history to what was used and tried and true. I actually talked to some of the retired troopers out in the hallway, and they said it worked very well. So, you know, rather than, I know the focus is on texting and cell phones, but a number of other issues have been brought up and are equally as distracting to drivers. So I just wanted to give you a little history lesson. I said when I first came in this building 30 years ago that I wouldn't do this. Back in 72, we tried this and we did that. But I find myself kind of in the historian role now. And I just wanted to let you know that there used to be an encumbered driver statute that's not there anymore. And it would have covered all of these instances.
Representative Shoffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Brian, you can be in the conversation as long as you're not driving down the road. My question is,
you've got it.
Is why did that get deleted from the statute?
You know, I don't know. I did not represent OSP OA at that time. I can do some research. I know that Representative Olson was involved in the discussions last session around this particular issue and had some of the same comments, and that's what we were exploring at that time was is that statute still in the books? How is it used then? Do we just need to resurrect that? Do we need to revise that and resurrect it? How can we do that? So it was less focused on just one distraction rather than the distractions. And, you know, we recognize whether it's public safety or somebody who represents a cell phone company, there are distractions, and we don't want people to be driving while they're distracted. You know, we're Sprint Nextel is neutral on the bill. The representative, the freshman representative from Yamhill County, has pointed out that he couldn't figure out why we're not in here supporting this because we're going to sell a bunch of product. No doubt, there will be some products sold to go to hands-free, but that's not our issue. We have done public education around this issue. And done public education around this issue, and have done public education around this issue, and I too still see people driving in ways that they shouldn't be driving, but that is not exclusive to cell phones.
And if I may,
yes,
I mean this bill has great merit, and I hope I get a chance to do something about it. But that it is a broader conversation, Madam Chair. What if a state police officer or sheriff or whomever, I mean, I have literally seen, matter of fact, one of our former colleagues.
You've been mentioned in the conversation. Here,
come on up here. I have a question for you, Representative. It's the second time today.
I'm honored.
Following you. I think I'd be worried, Mike.
He must be following me around. Believe me. Madam Chair, if I may, Representative, if someone is reading a newspaper while they're driving down the interstate, can you currently pull them over and cite them for reckless driving?
For the record.
Madam Chair,
Andy Olson, State Representative Albany.
Thank you.
And Representative Schaffler. You know, it depends on what the driving behavior is, if that's what you're looking at. Because one of the things you have to prove with reckless driving is intent. So that's a huge piece. And if you can't prove that, then there's no sense to go there. Now, I heard the question that Brian DeLashmit, you know, or actually couldn't answer, but you asked him. In the early 80s, when the legislature revisited and restructured the ORSs dealing with the criminal code, motor vehicle code, fish and wildlife code, one of the things that they looked at was the driving while encumbered statute that was mentioned. Great statute. What happened is that it was dismantled and little tiny pieces went all over the different directions of the code itself. Like, for example, failure to maintain single lane of travel, careless driving, failure to drive to the right. All those types of statutes that we have on the books today is what happened as a result of driving while encumbered. The testimony that was provided today, because I was listening to it, and there was a lot of great testimony. The thing that I see, cell phones is a problem. There's no doubt about it. But if you're going to move toward cell phones, you've got to kind of move toward wanting to try to capture a little bit of everything. Because what are you going to do with the individual that has the dog that's on their lap, that's sticking its head out the window? I mean, I've seen where that's been a problem. The person that does read the newspaper, the person that's studying as they're, you know, traveling to go to work, even the person that reads the magazine, and wow, I can share a few stories about that, you know, for folks driving down the road. But the cell phone is a huge issue today, because if you do the studying on the distraction that it creates, it's incredible. And that absolutely applies toward even your hands-free.
Representative, does that mean you think that my 140-pound dog might be a distraction on my lap? 140-pound.
Madam Chair, if I were still working the road and you had your dog on your lap while you're operating a motor vehicle, I would stop you.
Representative Widener.
Madam Chair, it's the small dogs that are the problem. They get under the brake pedal. But
wow.
In seriousness, so it sounds like we should be looking at the law that Brian was mentioning earlier and reworking that, because there are tons of distractions that we face in the car that cause lots of situations on the road. I mean, I've rear-ended somebody and when I was 19, and it wasn't because of my cell phone. So it was looking out the window in other directions. So, and I think we need to broaden this up a little bit, and actually, if we're going to do some legislation, make it right.
If you don't mind, I have a specific question of Brian, since he brought out his phone. Does that phone operate when it's in push-button mode? Does it operate the same as a walkie-talkie, or do you have to put it to your ear the technology will always defeat us because it keeps changing the minute we start doing that. So I guess Mr. Campbell mentioned that Nextel would be in his language, but it sounds like if it's being operated that way, push-button mode, it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm asking?
Chair Beyer, Representative Berger, it functions exactly the same way as a walkie-talkie does. If I push this button, it sends a signal to somebody. I cannot talk and listen at the same time. So I have to let off the button, then they talk back to me, then I talk back to them.
It's just a
direct connect, the same way as a walkie-talkie is between this frequency and that frequency there, as long as you're on the same frequency.
I think this can be, I think we can get to this. Thank you.
Right.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
This kind of gets back to the issue that we were discussing 2 years ago, that ended up not being heard in this. It did get heard over on the Senate side, but it dealt with the idea of driving while distracted. It kind of captured everything, but it gets back to the whole idea, too, of driving while encumbered, that concept.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I don't know that I answered the second part of Representative Berger's question about whether or not you need to have it up. It functions. You can hold it down here, and you will hear it on the speaker the same way as a walkie-talkie.
Representative Benz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the issue is one of how much use by this new device, I think. I used to do some defense work and defended a bunch of people who were charged with driving while encumbered. In fact, I think the one I remember most clearly was a young man who his girlfriend was sitting too close. But it seems the question is the are there studies that indicate how much of this mobile phone use is now happening as people drive down the road? Because it has to be far greater than any of the other anecdotal things we've heard about. It has to be just many, many times greater.
I gave you some of those facts. I'm not sure that you were here, and I'll get those to you. But, yes, the use of cell phone has increased geometrically in the last few years, and I've got those somewhere, but I'll give them them to you.
Right. Well, I don't need the information. I believe it. What I'm getting at is that it doesn't seem like we should be talking about the encumbered thing, because I think that applies to a less frequent occurrence of things. And the cell phone is all the time, and thus it needs its own response. Is that correct?
Thank you, Representative. Carolyn Tomei for the record. Absolutely, Representative Benz. This is a very simple bill. Encumbered use would be, and Representative Widener, you still have two priority bills, and I would be delighted if you were to create one of those bills, and good luck to you. The perfect is the enemy of the good. This covers one issue. It does not cover dogs in the car. It does not cover hamburgers in your lap. It does not cover your arm around your girlfriend. It covers one issue, which we know is a growing problem. That was one point. The other point is I would be happy to get together with people who would like some amendments. I agree that there need to be some amendments, and so I've asked, I think, most of the people who have been here have expressed concerns, and I think we can come up with amendments to make this a better bill. It will never satisfy everybody. Representative Boone, I wanted to point out on page 1, lines 21 and 22, the section that does not apply to a person who is summoning medical or other emergency help. And Representative Schaffler, it also, in page 2, lines 2 and 3, it does not cover those who are using a communication device for the purpose of farming or agriculture. So I think already it covers issues that are important to you. I hope to be covering other issues that are important, and I realize that we can do that. And so I hope to be bringing back to you a good bill. But it was not going to be a 30-page bill. It will be a one- or two-page bill that covers one issue.
Madam Chair, not to belabor the issue, and I appreciate the comments that the good representative has mentioned about the exemptions. The one additional that I would like to at least be able to discuss is someone calling in to 911 dispatch because of an emergency. I don't know how many times I have been going on down the road seeing a drunk driver have called in, and you don't want to lose contact with that person, so the dispatch says stay on the line. Where are they, what road mile, so on. And so that was another incident that I think, if we're going to proceed, would need to be covered.
Well, if you were hands-free, though, wouldn't that be covered?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, that's a very good point.
Carolyn Tomei again, and one more point. This is not an expensive bill. You do not have to talk on the cell phone while you are in your automobile.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any last comments from...
Well, Madam Chair, and getting back to what Representative Bent's question was to Representative Tomei, there is, I mean, even 2 years ago when I was doing the research on this, the causation rate that ODOT, collects that data dealing with the reasoning behind crashes. The increase for crashes obviously was real clear that a contributing factor was, cell phones. So.
Thank you. Thank everybody for coming today. I think the discussion was very good. I appreciate the committee hanging in on a Friday afternoon to hear this bill. And with that, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2038 and 2377 and adjourn the committee.